With Cardinal World Series champion Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji, I'm Randy Carricker. Great to have you with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, your home of the St. Louis Blues. As a matter of fact, play Gloria continues. Game 3 against Dallas is Thursday night here on 101 ESPN. Game 3 against Dallas from last season. Army, always good to talk to you. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, guys. How's everybody there?
We're hanging in there, trying to establish and maintain social distancing and all of that stuff. I know how much you love this time of year. How much do you miss the playoffs and being around it every day?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, the sun starts to get a little bit warmer, and spring is here, and you just equate that with playoff hockey, and not to have it is a really strange feeling.
Army, a term that's thrown around a lot right now is the new normal, and we're all trying to figure out what exactly that means for each and every one of us. For you, for the president of hockey operations for the Blues, what's the new normal for you? What does an average day look like?
Well, I get up, and we usually get some amateur calls in on most days, pro calls, usually from about 8:30 to 1:30. We're doing things, and then the afternoons start to drag after that. You know, you try and call other managers just to see what's going on, but those calls are getting less and less now because we're all just waiting for some direction, whether we can get the guys back in to start training in the facility, whether we're going to be able to play again this year. So much is up in the air right now. So it's just trying to stay active, get ready for the draft, whenever that may happen, either in June or after the season. But that's really about it.
So what is the latest as far as what you've heard about being able to have some kind of camp, workouts, whatever? And we know it changes constantly, and the other leagues like NBA, Major League Baseball, they're trying to figure it out too.
Yeah, I think, well, you know, our state is opening up on May the 4th, but our county and our city is not opening up on May 4th. So we have to follow the local guidelines. And then I think what the NHL is, they want to make sure that if we do come back and when we do come back, it's a level playing field. So I think they're probably going to want teams at least to have, you know, I'm just picking a number, 2/3 of the teams be able to go into the facility all at once. You don't want teams to get a head start on training and skating. And so it is just sort of a wait-and-see attitude. But I know I talked to some players yesterday, trying to reach out to different guys each week, and our guys are starting to get their engines revved up with the thought about potentially playing again and maybe even getting back into the facilities by mid-May or whenever they allow us to, quite honestly.
Army, it is nice that so many of your players have stayed here in town, and it shows the closeness of this team that we always talk about, that they're together on Zoom chats and playing games. And we had somebody on, who was it, that's getting out and rollerblading with his roommate. So the guys are doing everything. Who was it?
Was it Pareko?
Yeah,
I don't remember who it was.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think Dunner and Blazer are rooming together.
That's right, Sammy Blake.
Blades quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, but it's cool to see that your team is doing that.
Yeah, I think guys are finding different things. As I said, I talked to somebody yesterday, and they had 3 or 4 guys out golfing, and, you know, they're trying to find ways to stay connected. And we do have a large number of players that are still here in St. Louis, and hoping to get back into to the hockey rhythm. I talked to Jane Schwartz yesterday. He's up in Saskatoon visiting family and trying to find things to do too. But the days are starting to get long for everybody.
Hey, Army, I know this is larger than simply a hockey decision and the product that's thrown out there, because there are financial implications as well. But the way that you look at it, do you look at this when we do resume, if we're able to resume the season, do you look at it as an imperative thing that we finish the regular season schedule, or would you be okay with jumping right into the postseason?
Well, I think the way that I'm viewing it is more, there's an end date where everything has to be done by so we can start up next season. And then you want to get as much hockey in from that end date back to when we can start up. I think that you'd love to have the regular season finished. You'd love to, get that 82 games in and seed and get into the playoffs. But if we don't, I know the commissioner and the NHLPA are working hand in hand to find out with some formula where we can crown a Stanley Cup champion. But, you know, when you look at it for those teams that, let's say, the 15 teams that don't make the playoffs, that's, and we push everything back to, say, October, November, that, like, they potential. That's that's a long time without playing hockey for some of those guys. So I think just even out of competitive balance, they want these guys to get back on the ice, at least if they get 10 more games in this year. If they miss the playoffs, it gives them a leg up on next season also.
So along the lines of what you're talking about, has there been, and I'm sure they've been discussing it, but has there been any talk, as far as you know, about what the date is that if we don't start things by this date, we can't do anything at all? Have you been given a date like that, or have they tossed ideas around?
No, I'd say that's probably above my pay grade. I think the commissioner and the owners would talk about that stuff. And what we're doing is we're planning for the best, and if the worst happens, it happens. But as I said, there's no harm in preparing to play, whether you're a coach, a manager, or a player. And that's what we're trying to do. They did say unequivocally that they want to get an 82-game schedule in next year. And so there will be a date where playing this year won't allow that to happen, but I don't know what it is. And quite honestly, I hope I never have to find out.
Doug Armstrong, the Blues general manager, president of hockey operations, with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. A couple of weeks ago, you signed three players. You signed McKechnie to an extension, Blay, as we mentioned, and Marco Scandella. My guess is that, knowing you like we do, you want as much certainty as you can possibly have.
Yeah, well, it doesn't affect our team this year. When we come back, we're set. We're ready to go. But if we do come back and play, the off season is going to be condensed. So if we're able to get some work done prior to that, we thought it was beneficial. And there's three contracts that fit into our system and our scheme. And we have an understanding that I don't think the salary cap is going to increase because it's tied to revenue. But also, I think the league and the PA don't want it to decrease by a significant amount just because people have been planning for it. I went to a GM's meeting, for example, at the first part of March, and they said the salary cap was going to be between 84 and 88 million. You know, 2 weeks later, we haven't played, we haven't played hockey. So I think teams have spent money with the understanding that the cap was going to go up. And so we have to find out a way that teams can keep as many players as possible. And I think that'll be a flat cap or somewhere near where it's at now. And not a majorly reduced cap. But that being said, I think the three contracts that we signed fit into a long-term plan for us.
Army, this isn't necessarily your guys' outlook, but maybe just a general NHL one. With all the issues that you're talking about, with maybe it's a flat cap, but certainly there's lost revenue from this year already, or at least there could be. How do you expect this next year's free agency to go? I would think that everybody's been chomping at the bit, and certainly Petro is the guy that everybody thinks about here in St. Louis, but there are plenty of free agents out there that have been waiting for that bite at the apple, and now I would think that this would be a scary time to get into free agency.
Well, I think it will be to an extent, but if it's a flat cap, that means at worst they're going to be treated as last year's salary cap. You know, so it's not like it's a regression cap. So there may not be the increase, but if they do find a cap to keep it somewhere where it was last year, you have to play for last year's playing rate. Nobody was in poverty last year either, but it's a different time to be a free agent, that's for sure. And I think the concern is not as just much next year as how quick is our overall economy going to come back. You know, I view ourselves as a luxury item, something that I think we can bring stability to a city and pride and sort of a way to escape reality. But, you know, you need economics to do that. And we're hoping that we can get our whole economy back as quick as possible. And that'll be a positive effect for our industry and all sports.
As far as your challenges trying to have a roster ready to go, you know, for the next season, you know, you always have to be thinking ahead. You're thinking about now, but you're thinking about what happens a year or two from now as well. Aside from the things that we've talked about, what is a particular, challenge that you are facing now or that other hockey operations people are facing now that you're in the middle of this thing like everybody else is, and you're still trying to plan for the future, but you don't know when that's going to be?
Well, I think you probably have to go a layer or two down from what most people will think, is that, we have one restricted free agent left in Vince Dunn. and De La Rose too. I'm sorry, two restricted free agents, and then Pietrangelo as a main key unrestricted free agent. So we basically have our roster set. We have enough players, but the thing that I'm not concerned about, but we're going to have to address, is that if we come back in some fashion and we're not allowed to play in front of fans immediately, how does that affect the American Hockey League? The American Hockey League is not a television-based league. It's an attendance-based league, and there's independent owners there that might not play. They might not have the desire to play until the fans come back. So then what do you do? How do you have a replacement players ready to play if you don't have an American Hockey League that's starting at the exact same date we do? So there's things that you know, every cause and effect, there's always something that comes up when one decision is made. And so those are some of those things that we're talking about. Like when we come back, if we come back this year, we're going to have to finish the regular season, hopefully with 11 games. But if there's not an American Hockey League, we have to go to our get our playoff roster ready, which is usually about 30. You know, what do you do with those? What do you do with those guys as you're playing those 10 games? If you can't use them, how do you keep them prepared? You know, there's a whole host of things that are going on behind the scenes that Craig and I and our staff are trying to make plans for. But there's things that are probably not on the forefront of other people's minds, the technical part of how to get your group ready.
Army, have you spent much time during this time where, like, FS Midwest and NBC are showing a lot of last year's playoff games? Have you watched much of last year's playoffs?
Yeah, it's great because I know the ones we win, and so I watch those.
I'm amazed going back, and you have obviously an exceptionally keen hockey eye. One of the oldest coaching axioms is that the little things add up to the big things. And you mentioned Petro, and not just him, but a lot of your players. It's amazing how many little things happened that added up to be big things.
Yeah, well, I watched the Game 7 against Dallas, and I thought we played so good for three periods, and in my estimation, the shots were 2 or 3 to 1. We should have won that in 60 minutes, but you get into overtime, and you know, I saw the Jamie Benn wraparound that came off of a broken play back towards our net by Colton, and that almost went in. Cogliano had a good look at it, and you understand how close it changes from victory to failure. And we were on the other side of that for more than one occasion in the mid, 2011 or 13, 14, 15, 16, where we could up 2-0 against Chicago, up 2-0 against LA, and couldn't close those out. And I look back on some of those games, there's shots that I can look at in my mind right now that, you know, half an inch there and it's posting in, we move on in those series. And, you know, when I watched the last year's playoffs, there was a lot of half an inch and it hit the post and went out, or good things happened to us. And it just prove to me how fickle this game really can be.
It's amazing how managers, coaches, general managers in sports, the more vivid memories are of the losses than the wins.
It is amazing. I think of that so much. Like when I was in Dallas and we rang one off the crossbar in Game 6 against New Jersey and lost that Game 6 for the Stanley Cup Final. And the year before, Buffalo rang one off the post in Game 6 in overtime. I never think of that one. I only think of the ones that could have been and what might have happened. And I really do. I'm so excited for what our organization and the players accomplished last year. But I really felt that we had some really good teams in 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17. They couldn't get over the hump, and you start to wonder what's going on. And it was great to get through it last year, that's for sure.
Well, and you know, Army, how, I mean, human nature sometimes kicks in, and you get over that hump, and you break down that barrier, and you win the first championship. And I think that for some teams, it might be easy to lay off the gas a little bit. All right, we did it. We're good to go. Your guys didn't do that. Your guys just kept pedal to the metal the entire time and put themselves in as good of a position. And I know that we're at a standstill right now and the world is crazy, but you got to be so proud of this group, not just for last year, but the way they've gone about things this year.
Yeah, well, you want to verify your championship or any good season with a good next year. You know, you don't want to be one of those teams that is perceived that didn't earn their championship. And I think our record prior to winning, we missed the playoffs that 1 year out of eight by 1 point on the last day, and then went on to win the championship. And I wanted to make sure, and I think the players wanted to verify what we did last year by coming in having a very good regular season. And at the pause, where we have the best record in the Western Conference, second best record in the NHL, so they've checked that part off. And I think what really excites us is when we made our decision to bring Ryan O'Reilly in and Bozak and Perron and Patty Maroon and make those changes, I thought that this team was going to be set up for a 4 or 5 year run. We won in year one. We have a good chance in year two. Now it's just to sort of push that out. And as a manager now, my job is now how to take that 5 year window and make it 7. And then once it's 5, make it 10. And, you never want to think about using the R word, the rebuild word. It sounds great, and the fans, everybody buys it in May and June. But when you start to go through it, like this organization had to in 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, there's a lot of long nights, and I like the way I'm driving home most nights now with a smile on my face than the other way.
Yeah, we had the conversation with multiple people around hockey since everything has come to a halt here about whether or not, and going back to our discussion of whether or not the regular season would finish before a potential Stanley Cup playoff startup again here, is it any lesser to not have an entire 82-game season and to go through all the playoffs and win the Stanley Cup again? Would it be that big of a deal to just jump right into the playoffs as far as players considering the cup being legitimate?
Well, I don't think so. I'm going to show my age here a little bit, but this is the fifth work stoppage I've been in hockey. One strike, three lockouts, and a pandemic now. And every time you come back, and this is what we're sharing with our players, like, I don't know if we're going to get an opportunity to play. But if we do, we might as well win. There's no sense, training and going through all that without the expectation of winning. We'll let other people decide if it's a tarnished Stanley Cup. In my mind, if you play, you might as well win, and that's all we can control. We can't control how people think about it, but if you got to play, you might as well win, right?
Absolutely. Hey, Army, one more thing. And the league has talked about if you do come back to play, it could be before no fans and with the four-pod system. And we've talked a lot because St. Louis looks like a perfect spot to be one of those pods. What's the thought process organizationally? Do you lobby for something like that? Do you tell the league, hey, we're ready? Do you wait for them to come to you? How does that work?
Well, I think it starts with Mr. Stillman reaching out to the commissioner and letting him know that we would have some interest. And then Chris Zimmerman, our team president on the business side, does a fabulous job of putting a business plan together with Chris's leadership. We got the All-Star game. We had the Winter Classic. He has the blueprint on how to sell our team, how to sell our city, how to sell our community as far as hotels, our practice rink, what we can provide the other seven teams coming in here. And I know we're in great hands when Chris is selling this to the NHL. And one of the positive things that we have, I think, is that the NHL knows the St. Louis Blues. They know our community. Over the last, 5 or 6 years, we've had every major event from a Winter Classic to an All-Star game to a Stanley Cup Championship playoff round. So there's no question on them. Well, will it be able to pull this off and in certain things? So I think we have a great opportunity. It's certainly up to Tom and to Chris to push forward and decide how badly they want it. I know as a competitor, I would love to be in St. Louis, and be not in front of our fans, but there is some comfort level to it. But more importantly, I think we would be a great place just because of the Centene Center can house all the teams for practices. There's so many positives here. But at the end of the day, if Tom wants to push Gary on that, which I think he's made a call, and if Chris Zimmerman, I'm very confident Chris Zimmerman and his staff are doing a great job in presenting why they think St. Louis is an ideal market.
Doug Armstrong, you always give us great information. Thanks so much for the time. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Guys, thanks a lot for always having me on, and you guys stay safe and healthy.
All right, take care.